We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Friday. Hope your day is off and running well. Gotta feel spring and summer in the air in greater Milwaukee today, can't you? Maybe it's just the Brewers are winning. Suddenly, what, game and a half out of first place? That's good. That makes you feel good. Spring and summer are in the air. And also health and beauty. Like health and movement and beauty are in the air. They're all such big drivers business-wise in our economy. You know, you look at the future of business through the lens of health and wellness, and I think it's really set to be defined by a bunch of things. Personalization, sustainability, the convergence of physical and emotional well-being. You know, do you stand up at your desk throughout the day? You should. You should try it. It's good for you. Movement really matters. Especially in business, right? In the fabrics that are in our clothes matter. How we ride our bikes matter. So we're talking movement and fashion on today's show. These industries, it's not just about aesthetics and fitness anymore. They're evolving into these big ecosystems that are going to prioritize holistic health, inclusivity, and they're integrate technology too. So locally, looking ahead, there's a lot of really cool, innovative companies in this space. Bikes and activewear are intersecting in the economic space for consumers. We're going to take a ride with bikes. We're going to look into the beauty and wellness fashion space. Amelia Cagle, one of the co-owners and the director of retail experience at Wheel and Sprocket, is going to join us. And then later in the show, Mike Drescher, a Milwaukee native, an entrepreneur, a social impact investor, and the founder of Vibrant Bra Company, Vibrant Body Company, is going to join us. Some really interesting innovations there in terms of that first layer that's going on the body. That's what it's about today. It's about fashion, it's about fitness, and it's about moving Milwaukee forward. But first, let's go two up.
Up one, two.
Now is time for the
two, count 'em, two.
Two,
two. Two up on The Upswing.
I saw this yesterday on LinkedIn. Who's staying and who is searching? It's a pretty interesting time in the job market, I think. According to the latest findings of LinkedIn's Workforce Confidence Survey, Americans employed in these industries, retail, oil, gas, mining industries, are most likely to be considering roles in a different field, or at least recently pivoted into a new industry. Employees in transportation, technology, consumer services are also looking now more than average. Meanwhile, you look at the industries of healthcare, entertainment, and real estate. Those are places where people are kind of saying, all right, I'm staying put. But on average, just more than half of American workers are either considering changing industries or actively looking to make a change, or have already made a change in the last year. 55% compared to 45% who have just no interest in changing industries. How do these findings line up with what you're seeing? What are you doing to hone your most transferable skills? Keep it in mind for sure. Second up, can you hear me now? Can you price lock me now? Do you see this? Yesterday, Verizon told its subscribers that its My Plan and My Home bundles are automatically going to lock in with a price lock guarantee for 3 years. Verizon's been, for the last couple years, raising monthly rates and fees, but now they're saying, hey, it's really a time to start taking more market share to continue to differentiate. The price locks are automatic for all subscribers for My Plan and My Home, but here's the catch. You always got to see what the catch may be. Those extras in those plans were Netflix and HBO Max. The hook is those are not included in the price lock. So always read the fine print. Coming up next, Wheel and Sprocket. Local business started in 1973. Lots of innovation and a big event coming up next weekend. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ.
Bicycle.
Bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Wheel and Sprocket started in 1973 as a small shop in beautiful Hales Corners, Wisconsin. Led and opened by passionate people that just believe bikes make life a little better. Lots of hard work. It's grown through the years, has 10 locations. As I said, just wonderful people who care about bikes and growing community. Amelia Cagle is co-owner and the director of retail experience at Wheel and Sprocket. Amelia runs the business with her brother, Noel, and her sister, Tessa, correct? Wheel and Sprocket, as I said, you know, really grown from kind of humble beginnings to be one of the best bike shops in the country. So, Amelia, I appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
Thank you for having me. This is fun.
All right. So, let's just talk about some of the key decisions and innovations. Just, it's a family business, a legacy business, but how do you really focus on innovation through the years growing from one location to 10?
Yeah, you know, the humble beginnings and hard work were a real thing. We started in Hales Corners, pretty blue collar. But actually, the original owner of Wheel and Sprocket was named Frank Tamil.
Okay.
And Frank is still alive today. Frank wanted to have a car lot, but couldn't afford all the cars. So he settled for a bike lot. Right?
All right.
And unbeknownst to him, he didn't know that bikes came in a box. And all of a sudden, he needed a great bike mechanic. And he was talking around, and all of a sudden, he met this curly-haired kid who was going to school and knew how to fix a lot of bikes because he had a paper route, and you could make more money those days if you had a bike, all right?
Yes.
So my father came into the business in 1973 as well. He became a co-owner with Frank, and they really believed in continuous improvement, all right? Mm-hmm. And so they were always hungry. They were always ambitious. They were always willing to do new things. So Wheel and Sprocket started in 73, and then this little bike brand called Trek Bicycles started
in Wisconsin-based as well.
Yeah, 1976. So actually, Wheel and Sprocket and Trek really grew together throughout the years, and it was fun because they would like bounce ideas back and forth. They would really give each other like positive and critical feedback.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of a cool thing is like these two small Wisconsin businesses kind of grew together to become like definitely outperforming our market, all right? Like there's bike shops in like California and like Florida where you can sell bikes all year round. Here in the Midwest, we were selling so many bikes. And really, it was like kind of exciting. And people were like, what is going on here? And it really was that like combination of like passion and discipline to run a good business.
And the greater good of transit too. I mean, I think often we think, ooh, it's public transit, it is cars, it is the pedestrian experience, it's bikes, but it really all works together. And I've really sensed as a business that you've taken, yes, you're selling bikes, but you're focusing on getting people from A to B, however they do that.
Totally. Selling bikes isn't good enough. Okay. So we need safe places for people to ride and we need reasons for folks to be riding. So my dad identified that early in his career and he would actually say a third of his time would be in retail. A third of his time would be in advocacy. And then a third of his time would be riding his bike.
Yeah.
Because, again, all these good ideas actually come from being outside and being on your bike.
I love that. That's a wonderful philosophy. So you have 10 locations today and a really strong online e-commerce presence, obviously. Talk about that breakout.
Totally.
You know, in-store sales versus online. It would probably seem to many like, I'm not going to buy a bike online. I need to touch and feel it first. But what does that look like in terms of balance on the company side?
Yeah, we like honestly don't care how you want to shop. We want to be, when you think bikes, we want you to think Wheel and Sprocket. So actually our e-commerce site is a fifth of our business. So it's one of our 10 business units, actually technically the 11th business unit.
Okay.
But it does about a fifth of the volume. And what's cool about that is we're able to do a lot of different like clearance buys, sell all across the country, have a lot of the replacement parts. If you're an avid bike rider, you know the more you ride, the more you break your bike.
That's right. Yes, indeed.
But we always want to have that tie-in to the retail stores as well. You know, it turns out the internet can't fix your bike for you, and it's not like an IKEA shelf. Like, it really does require a little bit of skill to be able to do it.
Yeah.
So, we think that the pairing of the retail with the online really matches well. And, you know, there is something to your earlier point, like, coming in and seeing a bike and feeling it and then doing that test ride, like you need to experience that once in your life.
Right.
I sincerely think, Jeff, most people don't ride bikes because they've never ridden a good bike.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think
that's
about
true. Yeah.
Your
yeah.
first bike. Like, yeah. maybe it was
or
like
you're
a hand
overwhelmed
down.
With, wow, I need to get this tuned up. I don't know where to go. Like, I'm not sure if it's going to be safe. Like, there's all those things that go into it.
100%. They really think, like, safety is the number one reason why people don't ride. Okay. And that's fair. But you guys, look around these days. There's bike paths all over Milwaukee, all over the state. All of these rail-to-trails conversions, like, there's really amazing places to ride. And your local bike shop is full of local bike nerds who know where all of those trails are, and we get jazzed just being able to share that info with you.
Yes, and the beauty of biking, I always say, is kind of you're bringing together that physical activity, but also just creating this mental wellness space in your mind that, hey, I'm outside, I'm doing good, and I'm focused on getting me to where I need to go. But when we come back, Amelia, I want to know, like, I have the bike in my garage. It's not quite ready for spring. What are the three things that I need to do to tune it up to make sure it's good to go for the spring and summer? This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are joined by Amelia Cagle, the co-owner at Wheel and Sprocket, also the director of retail experience. So, Amelia, I'm talking before the break. I want to fine-tune my bike for the upcoming summer season. What are the three things that I need to do?
So, I call it ABC, quick check.
Okay. All right.
Makes
it easy.
A for air. B for brakes.
Done.
C is for chain.
Ooh,
so,
okay.
The first thing is just, if it's been sitting in the garage for all, like, winter, you just need to pump up those tires.
Okay.
If you don't have a good pump, please invest in one. They're $50. 80% of the flat tires that we get in our shop are because of underinflation. Like, buy yourself a pump. We'll show you how to use it. And it is, like, it makes riding so much easier every time.
Can you usually just look on the side of the tire and it tells you how to inflate it?
Totally.
The electronic ones are, boom, done.
Yeah.
All right.
B is for brakes. So you just want to squeeze those brake calipers, make sure that the brakes are still engaged. Sometimes, like, people take the front wheel off to put the bike in the car.
Okay.
You just want to make sure that that's solid and re-engaged. The third thing is making that the chain actually has a little bit of oil on it, kind of like the Tin Man. If it's been sitting all winter, it doesn't work so well unless it has that.
Okay.
And I say all these things, but honestly, like, if this is fumbling you at all, like, come to the bike shop, all right?
Yeah.
Like, the best thing you can do for your bike is an annual repair.
Okay.
All right? And it is just a way for us to really assess your bike, make it feel like new. And then you don't have to take, it takes all the guesswork out for you.
Yeah, you do tune-ups on everything. So you got to do the tune-ups on your bike regularly.
It's true.
ABC, I love it. So let's see, where do I want to go here? I want to talk about kind of the re-emergence, if you will, of the big bike expo sale coming to Wisconsin State Fair Park next weekend. It's been a few, how many years?
5 years.
Kind of sunsetted.
Yeah, COVID definitely put a pause to our sale. So we were ready in April, but it was March that 2020 where the world kind of shut down.
Yeah.
But then it was so interesting because, like, you know, a lot of things shut down, but people found bikes again. And it was this beautiful moment where it was like, can't do much. Can't, like, you remember they even, like, closed the parks, but you could ride on the roads. They would close down some of the roads, even here in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And it was for pedestrians and bikes only. And I think people really, like, rediscovered their love for cycling.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's one of those things where, like, you get instantly better at it. It's one of those, like, you ride 10 miles and you're like, oh, that was hard.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ride 12 miles, 15 miles, 20 miles.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been a while and we're so excited to be back.
And I'm sure as many of the fans remember, and your dad shining down upon us, but he always had those really creative Sunday comics ads in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that showcase the expo as well as biking. And just, it made it, like, this event, it's more than just selling bikes. It's about experiencing kind of what's next in seasonality in Wisconsin, something that we just all embrace. So what can people expect that's new this year at the expo?
Well, look,
obviously, it's back.
Yeah, it's back. And bikes are fun, okay? And so what we sell is experience, and we sell, like, how to have more fun in your life. You incorporate a bike into your life, and I guarantee the summer is going to be more fun. Like, if it's just you for training for something, if you all of a sudden get your kids on bikes, and you guys can, like, have these core memories as families riding together. Mm-hmm. There's so many reasons and ways to ride a bike. And what Bike Expo does is it showcases in one place all of the different ways you can ride, all the different types of bikes that we have. We have over 50 different exhibitors, so everything from bike organizations to advocacy to rides that you can sign up for. But it's like literally where all the bike people are is in one room for one weekend only.
And if I have a couple older bikes, is there some trade-in options and I can maybe wheel and deal a little bit, so to speak? Is that an option?
100%. All right. You know, if you've got a bike in your garage and it never fit you properly or it was like a hand-me-down from your uncle, we actually do something. We use something called Bicycle Blue Book. So it's like Kelly Blue Book for cars, but for bikes.
Oh, interesting.
You can trade in your bike for a store credit, and then you can use the credit from your old bike to help you buy a new one.
Okay. Wow. That's great.
We make it easy that for you.
That's right. You're going to give me the price and... Hey, and then we're going to find a way to get me into a new model.
Dude, and bikes have come so far in the last 10 years. They're so much lighter. They're so much easier to shift. Like, they are so much more comfortable.
Are you seeing a lot of upgrades to e-bikes?
Oh, yeah.
Or just a lot of curiosity in that space?
You know, look, electric bikes are changing the game. So if you thought maybe bikes weren't for you because you hate, like, things like headwinds or hills, electric bikes erase all of those things. And they make it so easy to ride. So there, a lot of the bikes that we sell are like pedal assist, Jeff. So you still are pedaling to engage the motor. It's not like a motorcycle that moves underneath you. You got to do the work. But you get to adjust the level of assistance. So when that big hill is coming, guess what? It just helps you go up. But then on the downhill, you can still cruise and use all your own leg power. And they've done tons of studies on this. But literally, people are riding more often and longer distances. Mm. So we've got some like OG original people that are like, no e-bikes.
Right,
and you're
like,
you're going to be mad at people for riding more? Like, come on.
I mean, it very similar to the auto space. Hybrids, right? You're hybrid. You're pedaling half the time. You're using the motor half the time. That's great. Yeah. That's how it should be.
Dude.
Looking ahead quickly, what do you see for Wheel and Sprocket's future? I mean, you're constantly innovating and kind of shaping the culture of cycling.
Yeah, you know, it's exciting stuff. You know, I would say like 10 years ago, people were like, oh, retail's dead. But there's just something, you guys, like to be able to interact with a human being and get your answers questions answered, to be able to see a bunch of product, feel a bunch of product, and really get connected to a community. Like, we sell bikes, but we sell community.
That's what it's all about. Amelia Cagle, Wheel and Sprocket. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, commerce and community. That's what we do on The Upswing. So you look at the market forces a bit in retail, especially in food and beauty and fashion. It's really going towards education and trending towards clean. And I've always maintained that from a consumer standpoint, when you're out buying, you want to connect with purpose. And yeah, all the features and the stuff with things matter, but you got to be really clear and clean, because I think that creates loyalty. And there's a company that's founded and headquartered right here in Milwaukee, operated in on the coasts as well, that's playing in the clean fashion and women's health space. Mike Drescher is the founder of the Vibrant Body Company. Mike's taking time out of his day to join us in studio. Mike, I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Jeff, and love being here.
All right. So you're a bit of a, how do I put it, maybe a bit of a unlikely messenger for women's health.
Well said.
I saw your TED Talk, and like I think many that have seen TED Talks, it's... You talked a lot about your personal experience with breast cancer. How has that personal connection kind of led to the creation and evolution of Vibrant Body Company?
Right. Well, thank you. And yeah, you know, unfortunately, we all have had that experience on some level. I always say by the time you're 20, you certainly know somebody. By the time you're in your 30s or 40s, it's someone close to you. Usually in your 50s, you've known someone at a young age that is no longer with us. So same here. And you know what happened to me, Jeff, is that watching all of that and then understanding that two basic things. You know, we're getting better about what we put in our bodies, but we forget about what we put on our bodies, and that our skin is our most largest unprotected organ. And in the case of a woman's bra, you not only have these horrible chemicals, formaldehyde, PFAS, on two of the most vulnerable areas of a woman. And all you need is heat and moisture to transdermal absorb or accelerate that absorption. And if it's on you, it's in you. That's why there's a nicotine patch and a birth control and so on and so forth. Then you throw in restriction of that bra, which was all created by men, Coco Chanel freed women 90 years ago. Hollywood brought it back in the 40s. Companies like Victoria's Secret have run with it, you know, and you know, that's kind of a double whammy of that.
Yeah. So you have a wire-free bra product. You have a Sweat Smart fitness gear product.
Right.
A lot of better than you first layer products out there in that space. How is Vibrant kind of creating that point of difference with your products?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up. We believe that even that unlikely messenger, the unlikely messenger gets to tell, you know, gets to maybe decide who tells the truth. Because there's a term called greenwashing, and it's kind of like natural in food. And so we've gone the extra mile that many don't to get the certifications like the OEKO, which is the highest European. See, in Europe, they've banned 2,300 chemicals. You can't touch the skin. We've banned less than 40 here. So we have that. We also have a utility patent, which is quite valuable because it replaces the need for a wire, yet it gives a woman everything that she thought she needed that wire for. So those have been, you know, good hits for us.
Okay. So we are talking with Mike Drescher, the founder of Vibrant Body Company. Mike, when we come back, I want to get your thoughts on kind of the next evolution in the clean beauty space. I think it's becoming, and I want to get your take on this, but is it more accessible, maybe a bit more expensive, but also more front-facing because mainly kind of the Make America Healthy Again initiative.
Sure.
From RFK, I think a lot of what he's talking about is going to push these spaces forward and kind of maybe force companies to be better.
Absolutely.
This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. I'm joined by the founder of Vibrant Body Company, Mike Drescher. So, Mike, as you look at the clean beauty, clean fashion space now, my gut tells me that we're going to see more regulation and more transparency in terms of the ingredients that we're all putting on our body. Is that what
well,
sense
what
you're
hope.
Getting?
You know, Jeff, we went from clean water back, you know, 20 years ago with Evian and Perrier, the clean food with Whole Foods and you know, Sprouts, all the rest. And then clean beauty has really been a rocket. We work with the Breast Cancer Prevention Partners that really created the campaign for Safe Cosmetics. And Simon Mannering, a 2-time New York Times bestseller on purposeful brands, said it's almost counterintuitive that the clean movement has skipped the two most vulnerable, porous areas of the feminine form. So we have a saying, she doesn't know what she doesn't know, but when she does, she can't unknow it. And if it's on you, it's in you. So yes, we're working hard towards legislation.
Yeah, that's good. We have a 13-year-old daughter, and she has years ahead of her of wearing leggings and undergarments. And as parents, like, how do we do that education piece and make sure that we're buying right? Because there's a lot of outlets out there that make it really quick to buy now and to buy for really cheap.
And I'm not pointing fingers, but it's fact. Lululemon was protested at the Paris Olympics by a watchdog group out of New York called Remake, saying Lululemon dressing their athletes in oil. And it's true. The petro products in most that are completely legal here, so they're not doing anything illegal, in a recent movie, Let Them Be Naked, they test a Victoria's Secret bra at Hohenstein, who issues us our license out of Germany. It tested 4 times the toxic levels that they consider safe.
Well, I mean, that talks to your point, the importance of regulation and transparency in ingredients, not only in our food, but in our clothing. I mean, it's got to happen. We got to know what we're putting on and in our bodies.
Absolutely.
All right. I want to talk a little bit more about you, Mike Drescher, if that's okay. Last year, I saw a show called The Mike Show at the Marcus Center. It was wonderful. Tell us about that show and what your future plans are. A one-man show about your career in life. You're a Milwaukee native.
Yeah, it's a I call it a spiritual comedy, and had a lot of help. 10 Chimneys. I would be remiss without their support. It's, you know, I was able to put that back up in LA in August, and we had some of the streaming networks in, and we've been working on it in New York over the last month. But I call it a spiritual comedy. It's like, It used to be called 18 arrests, no convictions.
Okay.
But in the end, I have one conviction, and that is that we're all connected. So thank you.
That is good. Yeah, all connected through community and commerce. And
absolutely.
I've always admired that about you, and that's a wonderful thing. Finally, what inspires you to do what you do each and every day, Mike?
Well, you know, Jeff, I honestly, people like yourself, people that, you know, kindness is so kind of, it's such an easy word to say, and we all, it's hard to be that every day. But I think the Dalai Lama was right when he said, we're just here to take care of each other and go home. You know, we're not here very long, and people try to make a big deal of it, and they want their name on a building, and they want this and want that. And it's really just taking care of each other. So people that offer service from the smallest to the largest, and I'm humbly try to do that.
And you can make a product that's better for you and a little bit about greater good. That helps you along the way as well.
Yeah, yeah, and it's hard. You know, a third, about 40% of women's bottoms underwear, and you can buy these at Nordstrom's, not just, mm-hmm. you know, a discount, have warning labels because they're flammable. Hmm. Scotchgard, the ingredients of Scotchgard that's there to give women the illusion they clean, is disallowed in every other civilized country. It's absolutely horrible.
I really think that the future of food and the future of fashion is clean. It's going to take a while to get there.
Absolutely.
But we all need to stay on that train because it is so incredibly important.
One shot of tequila is fun. 25 will kill you.
Yes,
okay.
Indeed.
So you got to be careful.
Mike Drescher, the founder of Vibrant Brody Company. Mike, I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Jeff.
Coming up next, it's Friday. We got a fish fry price check. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. So last weekend we were at Costco, as you do every weekend, I think. But it was really interesting to see. I really got the sense that people are stocking up a little bit more. And I saw this on the Wall Street Journal site this morning. It's true. It looks like U.S. consumers are stocking up on imported goods more than ever. I mean, sensing that the trade war and tariffs are here. The TVs and like the imported soy sauces and hot sauces. You know, you get those huge like hot sauces at Costco, which are amazing. But then gear, and interesting, our last conversation, gear like brands like Lululemon on their site, they are exploding because people are kind of like, whoa, the prices are going to increase due to kind of the offshore manufacturing. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens in terms of the stockpiling, manufacturing, and just how we continue to shop and grow. Tonight, it's fish fry time. We like to do a little fish fry index, especially during Lent. I'm going to go out of my way a little bit tonight, go to Franklin, the Polish center of Wisconsin. Have you been there? It's an amazing place right there on 68th Street. Beautiful, tree-lined Franklin. They have a three-piece, hand-breaded, baker-fried fish fry. Comes with French fries, coleslaw, marble rye, tartar sauce. And here's the kicker. If you're going to go to the Polish Center, you get the pergoli, right? Those potato and cheese this week. Potato and cheese this week. Next week, it's mushroom and kraut. So you get fish fry and like those Polish dough goodness all together as one. You get that nowhere else. If you go through the drive-through, as you easily can at the Polish Center, you can only get the fried, not the baked. And I did a little price check, including those wonderful dumplings. The price check for the fish fry this year at the Polish Center of Wisconsin, $18. So not too bad. $18 for your fish fry at the Polish Center of Wisconsin, baked or fried. Finally, nothing constant but change in the world of community and business. We're going to transition the Upswing to a weekly format. Super excited about this, launching a true podcast version of the show. Producer Jaslyn and I got some big things coming for Upswing 2.0. Going to allow us to focus on a bit deeper storytelling, more impactful conversations, and really find maybe even a broader reach for the show. We're adding a bunch of new things too, so you can find us on the weekends and in your podcast feeds. My guiding mantra has always been greater good, and you do good, you do well. I gotta say, like, we always focus on community and commerce on the upswing. I firmly believe a city is only as good as the stories it tells and shares. So we're going to continue to amplify the good. We're going to be optimistic, but continue to be pragmatic, right? And we're going to celebrate legacy like we did with Wheel and Sprocket, but we're going to drive the future always, especially here in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. However you plug into your community, always keep it on the upswing. That is the only way to be.
These are your business headlines from the Milwaukee Business Journal.
Milwaukee area investor Zeon Partners Capital Investments acquires the commercial floors of the PH Dye House building in Milwaukee's 3rd Ward. The Wauwatosa-based firm paid $13 million to Singerman Real Estate of Chicago, which bought the space in 2018. Wisconsin-based Culver's plans to open 55 new locations nationwide in 2025, with Florida leading the way for the most new operations. Culver's continues to build on its number of franchises each year and hit a milestone in December of 2024 when it opened its 1,000th location. The second largest law firm in the Milwaukee area considers leaving its home of 40 years. Quarles & Brady is the anchor tenant at 411 East Wisconsin Avenue, where its lease expires in 2028. The firm is considering several possible site options. I'm Linda Spikes with MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com on 620 WTMJ.